The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. It is myself, Michael Bisping, of course, Brian and Harrington. They are here. They're in the background. They are lurking somewhere. Harrington, show yourself, my brother. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty excellent. How are you doing, Mr. Bisping?
I'm doing good. The word that I spoke about last week is still going on in the house. It's loud. It's making a lot of noise. It's annoying. So if it picks up on the microphone, I apologize, but I've literally been to every corner of the house. It doesn't get much better than here, if I'm honest. Christmas is around the corner. We are in the month of December. The Christmas decorations are going up at our house. Rebecca always makes a big... She goes to town. She kind of makes it like Santa's grotto. She does a really, really nice, beautiful job, to be honest. It looks beautiful, but it's a big operation. It's a big job. But this is early for us. I mean, what is the date today? Hold on. It is. It's only the 6th. For us, that's early for the decorations.
Yeah.
Most people in my neighborhood had their Christmas decorations up for Thanksgiving.
It's how it's supposed to be. You have the guests coming over for Thanksgiving because you're going to split holidays, right? Most people in America, they split between... They do Thanksgiving at one house, Christmas at the other house. So you want people to see your Christmas decorations, have them up by Thanksgiving.
But that Christmas Brian, please, are you going to give me some sense?
So not everyone is from a divorced family, Mike.
Yes.
Just number one. And number two,
hold on.
People put their Christmas decorations up the day after Thanksgiving.
Crazy people put them up for fucking, it's called Thanksgiving. Okay. It's not called Christmas giving. It's called Thanksgiving, okay?
Okay.
And you take away from the specialness. If that tree is up, if you have a real tree and that is up for any significant amount of time and you've got a dog that's walking around brushing into it, you've got kids that fucking about with it, by about the 13th of December, there's not a
A pine?
A pine needle on that fucking thing. It looks like shit, okay? And then come Christmas, you're bored of the decorations. It's lost the specialness, okay? It doesn't give you that warm Christmassy feeling inside. You're like, fuck these fucking things. You've had 7 arguments by the time Christmas comes around. Half the decorations are smashed to bits. It's over.
Well, I do like that just in the sense that by December 26th, you're now motivated to get that tree out of there. You're not waiting till January 15th, Martin Luther King Day.
Nobody takes it out on December 26th.
I mean,
do you do that in your house?
I mean, no, I have a fake tree. I have a tiny tree.
But whatever,
for my
fake tree, real tree. We're not talking about the fucking type of tree. We're talking about the tree and the decorations that go with it. They stay up until past New Year's Day, of course.
Do they really?
They do in my house. And they do in every house in England. That is the Christmas time. That is the Christmas celebration. You know what I mean? We do our little tradition is New Year's Eve. We get a little picture in front of the tree, me back and the kids, you know. And then in the new year, we try and get rid of it. Depends how lazy Rebecca's being, how lazy I'm being. But the day after, of course, it's not in America. For us English, for the Brits, it's Boxing Day. So that's actually, still part of the Christmas Day. We ain't taking the fucking decorations down then. See, that's the problem. You guys are putting them up far too early. You want to take them down too early.
Yeah, moving on, New Year's Eve is a whole new holiday. It's not about, you know, giving and sharing and one and togetherness. It's about getting drunk and trying to get laid.
Bro, Christmas is not about giving and sharing. Christmas is about celebrating the birth of little baby Jesus, bro. You know what I mean? I think you're getting away from the real reasons that we celebrate this beautiful day. No, I'm joking, of course. But no, come on, man. The Christmas decorations have been up for a long time. They've been fucking playing music in Ralph's. Fucking the supermarket Christmas music for far, 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 far too long.
Dude, they
if I hear fucking this type of music. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be ready to kill someone.
Dude, it's November 1st now. It's the day after Halloween, the Christmas music starts. November 1st, pretty much everywhere. And it's just nonstop. After 6 weeks, it's like, come on, dude. How many times are we going to hear Mariah Carey?
God, and that is an annoying song as well. It is a very annoying song.
On the main street in my neighborhood, they just play Christmas carols 24/7 for a month.
Are they classy Christmas carols, though? You know, like, what are we talking?
There's like trashy pop remixes, and it's so garbage. I'm so glad I don't live near there.
Because on Spotify, I put on, like, you know, when it's Christmas Eve, put on Christmas carols and stuff, you know, whilst we have a little bit of food and wine and stuff. And that's nice. It's nice and Christmassy. And then Christmas Day on Spotify, you put on like a Christmas playlist and it's fucking garbage. It's Mariah Carey and all those typical upbeat, happy things. No, I want nice, somber, I don't know, just chilled Christmas music.
You don't want Cyndi Lauper's White Christmas?
I do not.
Give me
I don't
some
want
Bing.
Cindy. Pardon me?
Some Bing. Bing
what
Crosby.
Is Bing? Yeah, there we go. Some Bing. Said it with authority. Anyway, good fights at the weekend. Harrington, I'm going to discuss these fights. If there's any points you want to say, feel free. But at the weekend, we had Jose Aldo, the King of Rio, which I think John Anik actually coined that name for him. He asked him at the fighter meetings last week if he minds the nickname the King of Rio. Of course, the answer was no. Who does want to be known as the King of Rio? But I mean, come on. What a sensational performance. Jose Aldo, and as I say, if I'm missing anything, Harrington, feel free to chime in and jump on and all the rest of it. But Jose Aldo, been around a long time, right? And he wants to fight for the bantamweight title. You never know. We might get to see him do that. But going up against Rob Font, when that fight started, I was concerned for Aldo. Of course, you know, as commentators, we're impartial. May the best man win, you know. But when it's someone like Jose Aldo, you revere the body of work that they've done. You respect who they are. And somebody like that, you don't want to see them get knocked out in the first round. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to see it end so quickly for them. Fair play. Rob Font could have done that, then fair play. But that's not what happened. But he got off to a really good start. I thought Rob Font looked sensational. He came out the gates really hot, high pace, landing on Jose a lot, doing a fair bit of damage, busting up the face a fair bit. And that's why I thought, holy shit, if this continues like this, then Jose could get finished. And then lo and behold, boom, right hand from Jose Aldo, sits him down. Jose runs across the octagon, gets on top, starts pounding him. He grabs a single leg, but I'm telling you, if there was 20 seconds left in that round, we could have seen a first round stoppage for Jose Aldo. Then the rest of the fight continued, went all the way to a decision. Both men showed a lot of heart. Both men were black and blue at the end of that. In fact, both men were disfigured. Jose Aldo, I'm not sure, Harrington, if you know what it was that caused it. I mean, I was there, I was calling the fight, but I still didn't catch what kind of really misfigured his eye. His eye was swollen up terribly, looked very strange.
I think it was the knee.
It was the knee? Which knee?
Well, he had him in the clinch and he fucking kneed him in the face.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, could have been, you know, and he's as good a weapon as any. But yeah, he was disfigured. Then by the end, Rob Font's eye, that had almost closed. So both of them were essentially fighting with one eye. Been there, of course. But fucking tremendous fight. In the fourth and fifth, there was a bit more groundwork. In the fifth round, Jose had him down. He was controlling him. I got a little bit of shit on Twitter because I was saying that I wish he'd have gone to town. I wish he'd done more work because he was down. Jose had his arm over him here. They call that turtle position. And this arm was kind of free. And the referee was looking and he was close to stopping that fight. And if he'd have just rained down blows like this, he just really went to work, he could have stopped the fight. I wasn't saying he needed to work harder in terms of the fight because it was a sensational fight from absolute start to finish. Both guys, super impressed. I mean, Rob Font, he'll learn from this. He'll come back better and stronger. He's only a year younger than Jose Aldo, but much younger in his career, of course. But Jose, you cannot count this man out, you know. Will he be the champion?
So I real quick, before we move on from the fight itself, 149 significant strikes landed by Rob Font 86 landed by Jose Aldo. Have you ever seen a fight like that where it is very clearly one-sided on the stat sheet, but so different on the action you saw inside of the cage with Aldo getting those two knockdowns?
Yeah, I'm sure I have seen many like that, but I can't think of one right now. But it's a good point you bring up, Harrington, and I think it comes down to the significance of the blows. Of course, what they're talking about there when they strike is significant strikes, you know, but who decides how significant they are? And there's levels to significance, you know what I mean? So obviously some of Rob Font's strikes were significant, but Aldo's were more significanter. Do you know what I mean? Because it seemed like every time Aldo connected with something good, he dropped him on a few times, came close to finishing him. So yeah, he didn't land as many shots, but he certainly did a lot of damage. And I think it was definitely Aldo that came close to finishing the fight on several occasions. You know, as I say, both men, great fight, high pace, a lot of action. Aldo proving, you know, that experience came through for him again. And then afterwards on the fight, on the microphone, pardon me, called out none other than TJ Dillashaw. I thought that was a tremendous call out because he's not going to get a fight with Piotr Jan anytime soon. Obviously, that's going to be Aljamain Sterling taking on Piotr Jan, interim versus the undisputed. Should be a great fight. You know, as we know, Aljamain Sterling isn't winning any popularity contests lately, bless him, the poor guy. So he's just kind of embraced being a troll and talking shit. But TJ Dillashaw was supposed to fight, but he got injured. So Corey Sandhagen stepped in against Piotr Jan. So if Dillashaw heals up soon, which by all accounts he will, I think that's a great number one contender matchup. Definitely from TJ, if he beats Jose, he fights the winner of Aljamain and Jan. And same with Aldo. I mean, that'd be great. As we know, Aldo got his ass kicked first time against Jan. But, you know, every fight's different. Look at me and Rockhold. You know, look what happened there. Harrington, anything to add to the situation before we move on?
I was going to ask in. All right. So Aldo called for that fight. He said he wants it to be on the same card as Aljamain Sterling versus Piotr Jan when they finally do rematch. If for some reason TJ Dillashaw can't make that card and Aljamain Sterling prevails, does Jose Aldo bump TJ Dillashaw as like the next man up? You know what I mean? Like, was that performance big enough to grant him that title shot over TJ if Aljamain is to get the win?
Well, yeah, so you're saying if Aljamain Sterling beats Piotr Jan, stay on the screen a minute because I'll need an answer. You're saying if Aljamain Sterling beats Piotr Jan and Aljamain's the champ and Dillashaw gets injured.
Regardless, if they just can't come to a booking.
Yeah, well then, yeah, because they need someone to fight and the next guy would be Aldo. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I see a world where TJ wouldn't take that fight. And I know he had a partial. Was it a partial? I think it was a partial tear of his MCL, something like that. Sorry, he'll be back relatively soon because we still don't even have a date, do we, for Aljamain Sterling and Piotr Jan? So,
no, not officially.
Yeah, so that could be a couple of months away yet anyway. And then he's going to need a break, whoever wins that fight. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, I think Aldo Dillashaw probably will happen very soon. Moving on, brother John. Co-main event, Brad Riddell, Rafael Fiziev. We're going to get into all the MMA stuff because we've got a big story with Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley, and Tommy Fumbles to discuss. And I kind of want to discuss that because it's always a lot of fun. But co-main event, Brad Riddell, Rafael Fiziev. Great fight. Great fight. Brad Riddell really impressed me. He's in a 4-fight win streak. If there's any stats or anything that you want to jump in with, Harrington or Herringbone, feel free. But what was I going to say? Fiziev, I'm so high on Fiziev. He's so good at striking. He's so fast. His reflexes, his instincts, all that stuff. Brad Riddell, I'll be honest, I didn't know enough about him to be as high on him as I was, as what I was on Fiziev. Fucking Fiziev. The Kazakhstan. But Brad Riddell impressed me fucking big time. The pair of them were absolutely, they were blisteringly fast. I mean, the combinations that they both threw, you know, it was hard to recognize what was being thrown sometimes. They were that fast. All I could see was a flurry of shots and hands and arms and legs and then the sound of the impact. I think if it went to a decision, we would have seen Rafael Fiziev still win that fight because I think he was just slightly ahead. Was there any numbers on that one, Harrington? Did you have any actual striking stats going into that, please?
It was super close. First round, actually, Riddell was ahead 21-19. However, Fazeev did have a better striking percentage. Second round, 30-22 for Fazeev, and then 17-16, the one knockout blow being the deciding one.
Yeah. Well, that knockout blow, I mean, that was beautiful. The way that he set that up, because Riddell kept exiting to his right, of course. I'm pushing to my left there. He kept exiting to his right. Riddell kept exiting to his right. And Fazeev had seen this. Okay. And of course, if you're going that way, if you throw a spinning hook kick, right, from the orthodox stance, Riddell is going to go right into that shot. But Fazeev even said that he noticed that earlier in the fight, but he didn't want to throw it too soon because he knew he'd only get one real good shot at it. Because if Riddell's exiting that way and he starts throwing the hook kick that way, Riddell, if you got half a brain, you're going to think, hold on a minute, don't go fucking that way, or don't be too predictable. Okay. So that's what he did. By not going for it earlier, he didn't show Riddell the trap that he was setting. And he waited to the third round. Good reason to wait for the third round as well. Number one, he probably felt more confident throwing it then. But it's because Riddell slowed down a little bit. You know what I mean? So therefore, a slightly easier to hit. Granted, Fazeev slowed down as well. They're both tired in the third round. But he threw it perfectly, found the mark, landed right on the face, heel to the face. Beautiful shot. And I think that when that landed, I must have looked away for a split second or something. Because the referee stepped in and I was like, holy shit, why is he stepping in? He stayed on the feet. But if you saw it, he kind of froze like that and then like acted a bit weird. Harrington, did you ever see the one with Brendan Schaub getting knocked out against, who was it? Was it Travis Brown? I'm not sure. And he's on the floor and he's trying to grapple somebody that wasn't there. Who was that? Was that Travis Brown?
Yeah, I think it was Travis Brown. And I think he was trying, didn't he try to grapple Mark Goddard or whoever the referee, maybe?
Yamasaki or fucking Mazagari or whoever the fuck it was back then. Yeah. I'm not trying to throw shade at Brendan Schaub. What I'm saying is it was kind of a similar thing, except he was on his feet still. He was on his feet and there was a glitch. There was a little scramble legs going on for the brain. There was a bit of a hardwiring problem, you know what I mean? And the referee saw it, dived in, stopped it. And looking back in hindsight, with the benefit of action replay, of course, the right decision to make. Of course, the right decision, because Fazeev would have just hit him 4, 5, 6 more times. And that would have been that, taking unnecessary damage, you know, and the fight would have ended anyway. So well done, Rafael Fazeev. Before that, we had Jamal Hill and Jimmy Crute. I felt sorry for Jimmy Crute. Harrington, let me ask you, have you ever rocked a mullet? You look like a man that would rock a mullet.
Oh, since we've been doing this show, I got bored in quarantine and broke out a mullet last spring.
Brian, what do you have to say to this?
I don't approve of anybody having a mullet.
But what about you, Brian, with your long, luscious locks?
I've only had long hair or no hair. It's probably been like 6 years since I've gotten a haircut, but I don't get like a trim. I'll just fucking take it all off.
Yeah. How long did it take you to grow that hair that long?
Yeah, it's been probably about 4 or 5 years since I've gotten a haircut.
And let me ask you this, and I'm not throwing shade on you. When my wife or my daughter wash their hair, they say it's a whole ordeal. They say it's a whole to-do. For me, it takes 2 minutes. Dude, are they talking out their ass, Brian?
I don't get it. I put shampoo, fucking, and then rinse it out.
Yeah, the same routine that we all do.
I don't understand why. I've never got it. I never understood.
Conditioner, of course.
Yeah, occasionally, if I feel fancy.
Bro. But when I'm washing my hair, I have a fraction of the amount of hair you have. If I don't put conditioner in it, it's all like the texture and the feeling of it, and it's all like stuck and interwoven. You can't really run a brush through it.
No, I keep it pretty neat, but like it does get frizzy. That's why I keep it tied up a lot these days.
The old frizzaroony. Okay, well anyway, the mullet.
Mullets 0-2 on the weekend.
Well, who was the second one?
Brendan Allen.
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, it serves him right for having such a fucking stupid haircut. Let's be honest. Jimmy Crute's a really nice guy. We spoke to him at the fighter meetings. I'm like, I like this guy a lot. And of course, I like watching him fight. But I didn't say anything about the haircut, but I'm like, fucking hell, bro. Come on, man. Cleaning yourself up a touch. Same with fucking Brendan Allen. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. All right, what's up there, all you do-it-yourself mechanic type guys that like to work on your own cars? Listen, if you do and you need some parts for your car, then I'm here to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. This is your one-stop shop for auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts that you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys. You need to order your parts. They're not really sure what you're looking for, and they never have quite what you need. And then, after all that hassle, they will still charge you the storefront markups. At RockAuto.com, you can easily find everything you need, and whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just working on your old car, everybody has access to the same incredible pricing at RockAuto.com. Listen, a lot of times you go to a garage, you say, I've got this wrong. You know, they're going to charge you a fortune. They're going to mark up the parts that they need. They're going to make a profit on that. And they're going to probably end up doing some work that isn't necessary. Now, listen, I can't do that. If I lift up the bonnet of my car, the what do you guys call it? A bonnet? I think so. The hood. You lift up the hood of the car, I haven't got a fucking clue. Okay, so unfortunately, I don't know my way around an engine. But if you do, and you're confident enough to do that, and you need car parts, rockauto.com is the place you need to go. Check out all the parts that you have, that they have, because trust me, they've got everything you need. But more importantly, it's the pricing. So once more, go to rockauto.com. No promo code needed, as the pricing, as I've told you, is already that good. But when you order, make sure to tell rockauto.com that you heard about them right here on the Believe You Me podcast. rockauto.com. Right, let's get back into it. Fucking Jamal Hill, man. He was good. I tell you what as well, side note. Big Paul fucking Craig broke his fucking arm last time. It just shows Paul Craig is good and he gets overlooked. You know, he's beating a lot of people because Jamal Hill, Jimmy Crute's a tough guy, right? Jimmy Crute has had some really good wins. He's a solid, well-rounded fighter. He hits hard. He's got good grappling skills. He's got a really good judo base. And Jamal Hill, I mean, he dropped him the first time with that first shot that he threw, and then he dropped him again with the exact same shot. You know what I mean? It wasn't a fluke. You know what I mean? That was skill. It was precision. It was a shot that he drilled over and over again. And he came in so composed. He was dancing. He was calm. He was cool, collected. And he fought like a fucking world champion. You know, and he looked so good. But fucking Paul Craig submitted him last time out in the first round. It's crazy. He gets overlooked. Big shout out Paul Craig. We'll get him back on the show soon. But yeah, man, the curse of the motherfucking mullet. What do you expect? Brendan Allen versus, who did he fight? Brendan Allen, he fought Chris Curtis. Was that the fight before that, Harrington? That was on the main card, right?
Yes.
And that was the fight before?
Yeah. Well, I know Chris Curtis was the fight before. Let me just double check.
Yeah. No, sure, it's all right.
Yeah, so, well, Guido was before that. Clay Guida was.
Oh, fucking hell. Let's talk about Clay Guida. I reached out to, oh my God. Clay fucking Guida. I reached out to him to get him on the podcast. Obviously, he's busy. Let's have a look. Please don't tell me he's come back now. He hasn't come back. He's giving me the big time.
Oh, come on, dude. Well, Jesus has to sleep 3 days after he does anything.
Yeah, well, there you go. Fair enough.
We'll resurrect him on Wednesday and hit him up for Thursday.
Clay Guida, we're coming for you. We will get you on the show. Yeah, to be fair, he had a big win at the weekend. He doesn't even say red on the thing, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Probably hasn't seen it, or maybe he did and just said, go fuck himself. I was going to give him a big shout out because he runs this thing called Gills and Thrills. He runs like a little fishing trip service for people. And he was telling us about it at the fighter meetings, took a lot of people out. And I said, you got to take me and Callum out. He said, come on, let's do it. So we'll try and get Clay Guida on. But I don't know if you saw that reaction that UFC put on their Twitter. It was of me, DC, and John Anik. We were just losing our minds because that's how good that performance was. Because Clay Guida said at the fighter meetings, he said, I want to show him that American wrestling beats Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I was like, oh, I'm not saying that it doesn't beat it, but I'm like, might not be a good person to try and prove that point against. Because Clay Guida, with respect, I think he's getting old. I think he's almost 40 years old, right? He's lost quite a few fights. I think he's 36 and 15 or fucking maybe even different. Maybe just look up his record, please, Harrington. He's had I think he's had over 50 professional fights. There's quite a few losses on there. And his opponent, Leonardo Santos, lost his last one granted to Grant Dawson. But before that, they hadn't lost a fight in 11 years. And Leonardo Santos was a 7-time jiu-jitsu world champion. He submitted George St. Pierre at a jiu-jitsu competition a few years ago, granted, but still, you get my point. I was like, I'm not sure if you want to take this guy down and prove that point. When the fight started, it didn't even come down to that to begin with anyway, because Santos kicked him in the stomach, a maigeri, a front kick. Maigeri is the Japanese term, but kicks him in the stomach. That took the wind out of him and then just beat the shit out of Clay Guida. Kneed him in the face, lots of punches, lots of strikes. And I thought it was over. I thought the referee was going to step in. I love Clay Guida. I love everything about him. But I thought, oh, God, if the ref stepped in now, it would be a fair call. It really would. But as we know, that is not what happened. Clay, being the fucking tough bastard that he is, managed to survive and then turned the tides. Started grappling, started landing shots. And essentially what happened, Leonardo Santos just punched himself out, kneed himself out, just exerted so much energy, he was destroyed. So those last minute, 90 seconds, whatever it was, he was just backing off the whole time, hands down by his waist. You could see sucking in big, big breaths. And it's the worst feeling in the world to be in a fucking high-level fight like that and you are out of breath. I say it all the time, conditioning. Of course you need the skills, but the conditioning, the skills are useless without the conditioning. If you are not in shape to go three rounds hard and you come up short and you don't finish your opponent early, you're going to be fucked and you're going to be in a world of pain and misery, because there's nothing worse than being in a mixed martial arts fight in the UFC with the whole world watching and you can't even hold your fucking arms up. And you've got a world-class guy coming to take your head off. And the second round started and, of course, he had 60 seconds break. So, you know, he'd composed himself a little bit. But within 20, 30 seconds, he was out of breath again. And Clay Guida, he never runs out of steam. Rushes in, gets the takedown, the hands behind the hips, puts him down on his ass. And as we know, gets the rear naked choke. And he really did prove on that occasion, American wrestling was better than Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And to add insult to injury, chokes out the jiu-jitsu, 7-time jiu-jitsu world champion with a rear naked choke. And when he did that, we all lost our minds at the commentary. I mean, I don't know about you, Hamilton, but I did not expect that kind of performance or for him to win in that kind of way.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously, we can tell. Look at your reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, dude, I mean, honestly, you know, this card felt very much like it was, you know, one for the old heads, you know, guys who've been watching for 10, 15, 20 years now to see Clay Guida and Jose Aldo get wins on the same card. It's like, you know, what is this? UFC 199 again? Like, what's going on here? So it certainly was fun for me. I did have a question for you. So somebody like that, who's a 7-time world champion in jiu-jitsu, clearly conditioning when it comes to, you know, jiu-jitsu or mat wrestling wouldn't be much of an issue, but like that, is it like the different gears to be throwing everything you have in the shots and then trying to get, like you were saying, doing the American wrestling where it's just go, 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 motor, 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 instead of like the, you know, like a jiu-jitsu match where, you know, you can kind of feel it out and take the breaks as you go. How do you change that level of conditioning, I guess is what I'm
saying. Well, I mean, to be honest, they're very different things, whether it's wrestling or jiu-jitsu or a mixed martial arts fight. They are three different sports, but he is not, Leonardo Santos is not competing in the jiu-jitsu match. And yeah, okay, some jiu-jitsu matches are very, very high paced. They're very fast, they're quick, they're energetic. Others people, you know, they take their time. It's whatever kind of style you are, however you approach that kind of game. This is different. This is a mixed martial arts fight and you've got to do the fucking work. And it was clearly obvious that Leonardo Santos just hadn't prepared accordingly. You know what I mean? Nothing to do with him being a jiu-jitsu guy. Clay Guida, listen, you see wrestlers get tired all the time as well. You know, if you are wrestling hard, if you are wrestling a lot, you're in the training room, you're going to be in good shape, right? Wrestling is a fucking tough sport. I have so much respect for people like Clay Guida that are still in the wrestling room to this day. I mean, the man has been in the UFC for a long time. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's still coaching these kids at wrestling practice all the time. I mean, you got to stand up and say well done to that man. Same with Daniel Cormier. Same with Daniel Cormier, you know? So that kind of conditioning will always be there, but getting ready for a fight is very different. And I think, you know, I think some people, because they are talented, like potentially a Leonardo Santos. Now, I don't know. I don't want to say that. But some people, when they're super talented, they don't train accordingly. You know, their talent can be their biggest enemy. because they don't push themselves in training camp because they think they're so good, because they think they have the talent. As I say, I'm not saying that's what Santos did. Who knows? Maybe he had an injury. Maybe he couldn't run. You know what I mean? Maybe he couldn't spar, or he had some kind of illness, or whatever it was, you know. But the fact remains, he fucking ran out of gas, and there's no two ways about that. And most of the time, that comes because you haven't put the effort in. And if you don't put the effort in, and it's not because of an injury or a sickness, it comes down to arrogance. And that's about it. It comes down to fucking arrogance or laziness. Laziness. But the laziness comes from arrogance. Because if you're not arrogant, you will fear the consequences. When I was getting ready for a fight, I was always like, I do not want to run out of steam. I do not want to run out of gas. I want to win this fucking fight. Also, if you're in good shape as well, if you get caught, these headphones are doing my fucking head in. If you get caught with a good shot and you're in good condition, you recover so much better. You can actually take a shot a little bit better. And before you know it, you're firing back. You might get on your bike. You might dance around the octagon for a second. Blah, 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 blow off the cobwebs. Get rid of the Tweety birds that I was fucking hearing last week. And then you're good to go again. Santos was tired, man. Simple as that, Harrington. You know what I mean? No excuse for it.
Gotcha. Got the stats here. 39 years old from Clay Guida. 58 total mixed martial arts fights, 37 wins, 21 losses. First submission since 2011. And another throwback after the fight called for a rematch with Nate Diaz. The two fought at UFC 94. Clay Guida won by split decision. Nate got one fight left on that contract. Is Clay Guida the man?
Hey, well, listen, we'll talk about Nate Diaz because I see him in the notes. Yeah, and this seems like a natural segue to do so because, you know, we don't want to go back and forth all the time. We'll get into Brendan Allen in a moment, darling, don't you know? No, we'll get into that in a minute. So Clay Guida's called out Nate Diaz. I don't know. What do you think? Because it's by all accounts, well, not all accounts, Nate Diaz is saying it's the last fight on his contract. UFC offered him Khamzat Chimaev. I saw a video on TMZ. See if you can pull that up, Brian, or maybe we can't play it. I'm not sure. The video of Nate Diaz talking to the TMZ reporter, and he's like, nah, fuck that, man. Fuck that. I don't want to do that. Give me a guy that's top five. You know, he was saying basically that Khamzat isn't worthy of him, and he only wants one of the top guys. Fair enough, I guess. You could argue, one could argue, a skeptic could argue that perhaps he's saying that because there's an intimidation factor with Khamzat Chimaev because he's destroying everyone. But, you know, if you want to be honest, if you're Nate Diaz and you're fighting the best guys in the world, you want to leave fighting one of the best guys in the world. And Khamzat, whilst being showing the potential and being a potential contender down the line, isn't a contender right now and isn't ranked in the top five, so I don't blame him for saying that. Clay Guida, if I'm Nate Diaz, I would take that fight. I'm not sure the UFC would want to do that fight. Who knows? I mean, Clay Guida is a fan favorite. I love it. Every time he goes out there, his brother slaps him in the face. Of course, we know he burps all over the fucking place as well. He's a great guy. He's had a great career. As I said, he's in the Hall of Fame for that fight that he had with Diego Sanchez. Yeah, fuck it. Nate Diaz, Clay Guida too. Fucking Clay deserves it. That would be amazing to see. Harrington.
Yeah, I mean, no arguments for me. I want that fight, and I want to see, you know, what's next for Nate Diaz. But I mean, that, I don't know, dude. Like, there's something about that concept to me. Clay Guida coming out, top of the card, damn near 40 years old, main eventing. Like, because, you know, if they're going to put Nate Diaz and this is his swan song, I would assume it would be a top of the card, 5-round fight, non-title, put a BMF, whatever, legacy title, whatever you want to call it, on the line. That really fires me up, dude. Like, they, you know,
yeah. No, it does. But I'm just thinking, like, if he wants to fight out his contract and leave for another organization, I haven't spoken to the UFC. I haven't spoken to Dana White or any of those guys. But if that was me, I wouldn't give him. I'm not saying Clay Guida is an easy opponent because he's not. He's tough as fuck and you can never underestimate him. But I try and give him somebody that may send him on his way with a loss, if I'm honest. You know what I mean? You certainly wouldn't give him a favorable matchup. You know, because I'm assuming the UFC would like to keep Nate Diaz around, but he wants to do his own thing, and that's his prerogative. But as a fan, Nate Diaz, Clay Guida, I'd love to see that with a throwback fight. When was that first one, Hamilton? I know it was a long time ago. It was like, what was it, like 2010, 11, something like that?
Yeah, I'm looking here. It was UFC 94, so that was...
Oh, wow. So it was like 2008.
Yeah, it was January 31st, 2009. So like right when it clicked over.
Right.
Yeah, that's incredible. There also is, and no offense to Clay Guida, right? But I feel like that spot would also be better used for somebody who the UFC views as a potential title holder down the line, right? Like, you know, the Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards fight made a ton of sense because, you know, Leon Edwards is the rightful number one contender for that 170 strap, whatever you want to say. You know, so putting him up against Nate Diaz, that makes sense. But like to put that shine on a potential future champion makes way more sense to me than you know, Clay Guida, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. And that, it kind of does make sense. You know, you want to give those big matchups to, you know, one of your future champions maybe, because you want to build their star. And there's no better way of building a star than beating out someone like a Nate Diaz. You know, you fight with Nate Diaz, you get a lot of eyeballs on you. Today, we are welcoming back IPVanish VPN to the show. You know the deal. IPVanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours, so it's so great to have them back. And let me tell you about IPVanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, and you really should, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IPVanish VPN. Rated 4 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, IPVanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, or even hackers from intercepting your data. You know, we're talking all your financial details, personal information, online activity is completely safe from threats with IPVanish, okay? You're not going to get hacked. You're not going to have people logging into your bank account, people hacking your Instagram, your social media and all that stuff, and changing your passwords and blackmailing you. Believe me, that stuff goes on, okay? IPVanish eradicates all of that. And also, if you're in other countries, you can maybe access certain pornographic websites. What do I know? But still, get started. If you're in Abu Dhabi, trust me, it's going to come in handy. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off your monthly and annual subscriptions by going to IPVanish.com/believe. 50% off, ladies and gentlemen. One more time, that is IPVanish.com/believe. And that's all lowercase, by the way. Okay. All right. Well, quickly, we'll just touch on Brendan Allen and Chris Curtis. Brendan Allen totally underestimated Chris Curtis, right? He was talking all week saying he doesn't really deserve to be in there with me. Brendan Allen's really fucking good. He's really good. Keep an eye on him. I think he just got a victim of his own success at the weekend. He allowed himself to believe his own hype. Maybe you just underestimated Chris Curtis. Listen, you got to be confident as a fighter. You got to be confident, but you can't be so confident that you lose respect for your opponent's skills. And I think that's what we saw happen on Saturday night. Chris Curtis hits hard, man. Chris Action Man Curtis, call him Action Man for a reason. Was it round two, round one? I'm not sure. I forget which round it was. But yeah. You know, just like back in New York a few weeks ago, UFC 258, he was getting kind of dominated by Phil Hawes, caught him with a right hook, I think it was, flatlined him. Same thing here, Chris Curtis, God bless that man. He was on the contender. He won, but never got a contract. Then he was scheduled for the contender again. He got COVID. Then he went outside the UFC, had a lot of fights. He won some, he lost some. You know, when he signed with the UFC for that fight at UFC 268, he had $10 in his bank account. You know what I mean? That's why people always say to me, do you want your son to be an MMA fighter? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. In fact, I don't think so. If you wanted to, I'd support him. But you got to understand the life of a fighter is a hard one. And Chris Curtis is clearly very good. 2 wins in the UFC now, 2 knockouts against good opponents. But prior to that, he had $10 in his account. And that's not because he's a wild spendthrift type of guy. It's because the path of a fucking fighter is very, very difficult. And there's world-class people that are flat broke. And there will be world-class people that will be flat broke their entire life. You know, the life of a fighter is a tough one. It's a tough road. That's why you got to respect them that see it through all the way. Anyway, there we go. Harrington, before we move on to some of these news, anything else? Before we move on there,
just want to give one quick shout out to Chris Curtis. Like you said, $10 in his bank account. He's since moved up 2 tax brackets in 2 fights in the UFC. He also got an additional $50,000 bonus. Dana gave out 4 performance bonuses as well as a fight of the night this weekend. So 6 people went home with an extra $50,000. Chris Curtis, one of those. He said that, you know, he's tired. You know, he's happy to take these 2-week fights, but if Dana can give him a little bit more time, he could do way more with it. Said he was drilling for Brendan Allen, that specific combination, stepping out with that right hook. Cook, I heard in the post-fight interview, could not have been more impressive. And he made the point. He's like, I'm 34 years old. I'm not getting any younger. I want to keep taking fights. Keep feeding me, right? I have a family to take care of. Keep feeding me. I'm so hyped for this dude.
Yeah, no, me too, me too. And he's such a nice guy because I was backstage at UFC 268. And when he came past with Sean Strickland and his team, when he just got that knockout, I don't remember meeting him, but we must have met somewhere. He was like, ah, best man. And he was just, he was so happy and he was so elated. It's just so great to see. As I say, when you see, because I think I have seen him around Southern California at the gyms. You know, you do the rounds. I've been to Rain Training Center, go to here, go to Millennium. You go all over the place when you're a fighter trying to get sparring. So I've seen him about. And to see someone finally, you know, put it together, getting the wins, getting the results in the biggest show on earth, you know, and then, of course, making the money. When you fucking got $10 in your bank account, remember, you can stop this and go and get a job at any time. You know what I mean? Okay, you might not have the skills to go get the best paid job, but you can certainly go get a job with some regular income. You know what I mean? But he stayed the course. And now here he is. We're talking about him on the number one MMA podcast on the planet. Anyway, there we go. Well done. That was that. There's some great fights from start to finish. But Harrington, do you want to break this down? Tommy Fury. Jake Paul, what's his face? Who's the other one?
Tyron Woodley.
Oh, Tyron Woodley.
The
chosen one, of course. Yeah. So go on. Give the people, I know I've spoke about this morning, but break it down. What went on?
All right. So turns out Tommy Fury has a bacterial infection that is falling in and out of love with his chest. He's got a broken rib.
Falling in and out of love, in and out of love with you. Falling in and out of love. We got to get that on, but continue. Don't ever dance again.
So Tyron Woodley, he's ready to go. The date is still set for December 18th. It's still going to be on Showtime. Don't know anything about if the girls are still going to be mud wrestling, but Tyron Woodley got his tattoo. Now he's getting his rematch. You know, I don't think this does anything with the bet about the last names or anything like that. All that I think has been tabled, but there is a new prop bet. Jake Paul says 500K if Tyron Woodley can knock him out.
You know why?
Why?
Why do you think he's doing that?
To make Woodley hunt for the knockout?
To make it seem to the public that there's a reason why you should buy this fight, right? Because we just saw it not long ago. Listen, God bless both of them, Tyron and Jake Paul. Good guys, you know, nothing against them. They made a tremendous amount of money, the pair of them, for that fight. But it was, you know, let's be honest, it was kind of a lackluster affair. You know, for Tyron, he didn't really pull the trigger. When he did pull the trigger, he looked dangerous, you know? And I think that's partly why they decided to go with Tommy Fury, because I think after that fight, people didn't want to see it again straight away, you know. Maybe if Tyron went away and won a few fights and showed that he had the knockout ability still and he was hungry and all that good stuff and he was willing to fight at a high tempo. Again, I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying what I saw. And, I you know, this is what happened. It was a very low output. And that's been a low output from Tyron in his last four fights in the UFC, as we know. So, as I say, I don't think there's a thirst from the buying public to see that again. So therefore, what Jake Paul's doing there is very, very smart. You know, you got to give it to Jake Paul. He does do some smart things. He's throwing a little spice on there. He's throwing a little pepper. He's throwing a fucking little bit of seasoning to make the buying public want to see this again. And by doing that, by saying to people, I'm going to give him $500,000 if he can knock me out, that sends people a message that, Tyron's going to go for it this time because he's going to get an extra $500,000. Do you agree with that, Harrington, or no? Oh, Brian, do you agree with that?
I do, simply in the sense that the one piece of success we saw from Tyron Woodley in the fight is when he finally got to lay that right hand down and he damn near sent him through the ropes. So if I'm Tyron Woodley, I have to think that knockout, I can find that knockout somewhere in like 8 or 10 rounds, whatever it's going to be. So
it's going to be 8 rounds, just like last time. The problem is, though, right, we'll get to Tommy Fury in a minute, seeing as we're talking about Tyron. Tyron hasn't been training for a fight. Now, he has been training. He has been staying in shape. Obviously, I follow him on social media. I see him hitting the pads. I saw him the other day on a training session, and he looked incredibly sharp with his hands. You know, but pads are one thing. Pads make you look good. But getting ready for a fight and staying in shape are two very different things. If you're getting ready for a fight, right? You should be, unlike that guy that got tired, who was it, Leonardo Santos, should be doing everything to be in the best shape possible. Should be taking care of your body. Should be getting out of bed in the morning, going for a run, starting your day like that, conditioning the legs. You should be doing hill sprints once a week. You should be doing circuit training, right? That really spikes your heart rate into the 160 BPM zone. You know, you need to really get your heart rate up there, you know, almost push yourself to the brink of exhaustion. You know, of course, you got to train smart, and you got to have your recovery days, your rest days, you got to have your massage, you got to have your stretching days and all that type of shit. But you got to push yourself, and training to stay in shape and training for a fight are two very different things. So Tyron Woodley takes this on just under 2 weeks' notice. Is that going to stop him from going for the knockout? Because the last thing he wants to do is get tired. You know, and then if he does go for a knockout and he doesn't get it, it's going to play into Jake Paul's hands, because then he's going to be tired and then he's going to be able to take over. Because I think coming into this one, Jake Paul's going to be very confident. He did win last time. Yes, it was a split decision. Yes, Tyron said he thought that he won. I thought Jake Paul probably deserved to win it, although it was close. Tyron did look more dangerous than Jake when he did let it go. You know, I think if he let it go more, he could have done that. But the fact that he hasn't had a full training camp, I think that will stop him from going for that, because he's going to be too scared, strong word, he's going to be too concerned with running out of gas in the fight. What say you, Herringbone?
I mean, you know, there is a part of me that just wants to play a little devil's avocado here. Last time he fought Jake Paul, you know, a month, 6 weeks out, he was doing interviews with us, Ariel Helwani, I'm sure every other show under the sun, trying to drum up interest in this fight. There was a certain dog and pony show element that came with having to sit down with Jake Paul for, you know, the BT Sport and the ESPN cameras and deal with the robot mascot behind him. This is a guy who's been sitting there getting clowned on by the internet for 6 months because he lost to a YouTuber and has been doing nothing but hitting the pads and hitting the bag as hard as he can in the gym. Just, I would assume, wishing and praying he gets that one back. To go in here on 2 weeks' notice, much like you did, stepping off the set of Triple X, to be like, all right, now I get to go avenge a loss, that sounds pretty awesome to me.
Yeah, no, you, and that's a valid point. But as I say, there's two different, you know, training to stay in shape, training to hit pads. It's not the same as a training camp. A training camp, your motivation is through the roof. He's got 2 weeks. You're right, it's not impossible. I mean, perfect example. I did it. Why can't Tyron Woodley? You know, and he's doing it against Jake Paul, that he's been in there with, that he never got hurt last time. He got beat by a decision, but he never got hurt. Jake Paul never hurt him once. Tyron just was a victim of his own style. You know, he often doesn't have enough output. Tommy Fury. I want to talk about that guy a little bit. I mean, he's kind of fumbled it there, hasn't he? You know, he had an opportunity to make millions and millions of dollars. Jake Paul and Logan Paul have both come out there talking a lot of shit. Logan Paul said he doesn't believe him. Logan Paul said he's full of shit. Jake Paul also said, I saw it on TMZ, he said that I'm not going to book another fight with Tommy Fury after this. He said, number one, he pulled out of the fight, of course. Secondly, I don't believe that he's injured in the way he said he is. Thirdly, he wasn't promoting it on social media. He was only talking about the fight every other week on social media and things like that. So he wasn't really pulling his weight. That's what he was saying. I got to say, I'm not going to sit here and say that Tommy Fury is lying, right? I'm not saying that at all. I don't think he's scared. I don't think he's pulling out of the fight. I think he probably is legitimately hurt. But all he's got to do to shut everybody up, and certainly to shut up the Paul brothers, is show his fucking x-ray. Show his x-ray. That's all he's got to do, because he said he's got a broken rib. He said he was ill. He was fighting through it. He went to the gym. He didn't feel good. He got hit in the stomach or in the ribs with a not a particularly hard shot, and he broke his ribs. Yes, Brian?
I'm inclined to believe that he is running scared, because his last name is worth more than whatever he would make losing that fight.
And he's going to get ostracized from the entire family.
They said they would kick him out.
They said they would kick him out, and they would probably beat him up along the way as well. You know, so there's a lot there, but all he's going to do is show the x-rays. If he went to the doctor and he's got broken ribs, he will have an x-ray. And if you're in this high, you know, profile fight where the whole world is watching, you know, all these youngsters, they're all very interested, they're all invested in this fight, you know, you would get a copy of that fucking x-ray and just put it on there with the date on. Last week's date, Friday's date, whenever it was, he went to the doctor. That's all you're going to fucking do. All you're going to do to shut up the critics.
To be fair, though, Tyson did kind of put him in a bad spot, right? He said that, you know, Tommy could show up with two broken hands. I think he actually might have said a broken rib and whatever else, have the worst night of his life and still beat Jake Paul. He was so confident in his brother. So it's one of those things where, I don't know, dude, like the cracked rib. Okay, I know a certain world champion who got in there with a cracked rib and you know, defended his title because that's what, you know, fighters do. So
yeah, didn't defend the title, lost the title, but I appreciate it, Harry.
Made a title defense.
Yeah. No, you're right. Attempted title defense. But thank you. No, you're right. But, you know, it's all well and good Tyson saying that. Of course, Tyson Fury is going to say, oh, he could beat you with two broken ribs. That's a terrible, you know, but I get what he's saying. But that's hype. That's hype. When you actually break a rib. I mean, bear in mind, when I did mine, it was torn cartilage, which was in itself very painful. If he's actually got a broken rib, you can't do anything. You can't fucking box. Just moving or anything, and there's nothing you can do. It's time. So, but he's going to show it. If he has broken his ribs, he can save face. He can put all these rumors to bed simply by on social media. Boom, there it is. There's the broken rib, you dickheads. Shut the fuck up. All right, let's just take a quick second to hear from one of our regular sponsors, Manscaped. And of course, we are talking about the Lawnmower 4.0. If you are trimming yourself, if you are doing some male grooming and you've done it in the past, there's a good chance that you've hurt yourself whilst doing it. There's a good chance that while you are going around the very jagged edges of your testicles, it's not an easy path to follow. It's up, down, mini mountains all over the place. Hence why you cut yourself and then it stings and then you're bleeding everywhere and then it ruins your day. That is a thing of the past. When it comes to the Lawnmower 4.0, Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever seen since the Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take over that world. The third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade. It has a light so you can do it in the dark. It is waterproof. And let me tell you, when I say premium, this thing is premium. It will last up to 90 minutes. But I will say this, Harrington, you are looking very trimmed. You're looking very shaved. Let me tell you, was the full charge, the 90 minutes, enough to get through the mountain of hair that you possess?
Yeah, believe it or not, like towards the end, it was kind of like rah, 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 a little bit. But yeah, I got there. I got the beard taken care of. I've got the hair taken care of. I've got the rest of the very hairy parts of my body taken care of. I don't know if the 3.0 would have handled it. I certainly know the 2.0 wouldn't. The 4.0 with its 7,000 RPM quiet stroke engine, oh, boom, tore through it, right?
Breeze through it. Let me ask you about the back hair, though. You know, who did the back hair for you?
Oh, no, that's staying on. That's my calling card, dude. I'm George the Animal Steel.
You've definitely trimmed those fucking triceps. I can see that. That's why you're rocking the sleeveless shirt. You know, you've had a little touch up. You've had a little clean up. You're like, I want everyone to see the goods. Anyway, listen, you know, it's coming up to Christmas. If you're listening to this, you want to treat yourself or treat someone in your life, go to manscaped.com. This thing's a fantastic piece of kit. If you, if you're trying to trim down below or just anywhere, really, you can do your face with it if you want. Go to manscaped.com. You get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code Bisping20. Manscaped.com. The code is Bisping20. 20% off and free shipping. Your balls will thank you. Anyway, there we go. Harrington, what else have we got going on? But what is some big news stories going on in the world? And throw a few subjects at me.
Got a couple big fight bookings here. Light heavyweight title picture. Jan Blachowicz recently lost his title to Glover Teixeira. Said he wanted to make his return in early 2022. He's going to get his wish with a March date against Alexander Rakic.
So Glover Teixeira, Alexander Rakic.
No, Jan Blachowicz.
Oh, shit.
Alexander Rakic, yeah.
Jan Blachowicz. Do me a favor. Just bring up Rakic's career and the last couple of times he fought. But, yeah, I mean, come on, man. You got to respect Jan Blachowicz. Goes out there, knocks out Dominic Reyes, becomes the champ, fights Glover, loses the belt. And then in his next fight, goes up against like the number two guy or number three guy. I'm not sure what Rakic is ranked, but he's right up there. You know what I mean? He's got to be close to a title fight himself. So you lose the belt. It's such a pain in the ass because that's just the way it is. I can't see there. What is it? Oh, yeah.
He's currently ranked number three in the UFC light heavyweight division. He's on a 2-fight win streak and has won 1, 2, 3, 6 of his 7 UFC fights.
Yeah. Can you show me Rakic, though?
No, that was Jan Blachowicz. That was Rakic. Yeah, Rakic won 60.
That wasn't Rakic's record. Oh, that was Blachowicz's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Israel Adesanya was on there. Gotcha. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Last two wins, Thiago Santos and Anthony Smith. His lone loss, a split decision to Volkan Oezdemir.
Just shows you fucking Volkan Oezdemir. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. No time. Came on the scene, knocked everybody out. Rakic is going through everyone, but Oezdemir beat him. You know what I mean? Oezdemir is fucking good, man. Anyway, Rakic and Blachowicz. There it is. I mean, it's a risky one for Blachowicz because what happens if he beats him? I don't think he's going to get a title fight again anytime soon. Who's Blachowicz fighting? Sorry, Glover. Is there a fight for him? Who's he fighting next time?
Most likely, they haven't announced it officially yet, but most likely Jiří Procházka.
Jiří versus Glover. Interesting fight as well. Very, very interesting fight. Light heavyweight division getting a little spicy. Anthony Smith is out there as well, waiting in the wings. Of course, last time we saw him, Ryan Spann fucking demolished him. Before that, Jimmy Crute earlier in the year as well. Anthony Smith, don't underestimate that guy. He'll be back on the show as well. Hopefully next week I'll reach out to him. We've got True Geordie joining us next week as well. We've got Alan Jorban joining us. We've got a few good guests lined up as well, so I'm excited for that. But yeah, what else we got, Harrington?
Another booking, middleweight this time. Jack Hermanson is going to get that fight against Sean Strickland.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I mean, look, I like the fact that both men were focused on Costa, but it seems like Dana is serious about Costa only fighting at light heavyweight going forward. I know a couple of light heavyweights have been calling him out. So, you know, with him essentially like out of the picture, that makes sense to me. It's two guys who are ranked right next to each other, and you have to assume Costa is going to get taken out of those rankings and those guys will move up. So, yeah. Next one was, closer to a title.
Sorry, I never heard the chatter about Hermanson and Costa. Was Hermanson calling out Paulo Costa?
Yeah, they both were. So Sean Strickland said that I want, you know, Costa, if you can't put the cookies and wine down, yep, then I'll fight Hermanson. Hermanson said, same here. I've been angling for a Costa fight, but I'll settle for you if Costa doesn't want to show up. So
okay.
Seems like that's what happened.
They're all calling out Paulo Costa, right? Not an easy man to call out. Do you know what I mean? Or an easy man to fight, should I say. Listen, Marvin Vettori beat him, but fuck me, what a performance it was. And Paulo Costa is tough as fuck, as is Marvin Vettori. All right, so Sean Strickland going up against Jack Hermanson. Interesting fight. Of course, Strickland kind of called out. No. Was it Till called out Strickland or Strickland called out Till?
Yeah, Till asked for Strickland on this show.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah. In London. So that's not happening. That's a shame. I'm still waiting to hear about a fight announcement for Paddy the Baddy as well. Of course, they're probably going to fight on the same card. March 19th, London. COVID, fuck off. Because we haven't had an event in the UK since 2019 now. So we really, really need one. And I'm looking forward to going over there and calling the fights. But Hermanson versus Till. Interesting. Hermanson versus Strickland, pardon me. Very, very interesting fight, you see, because Jack Hermanson is a really good grappler. Really good grappler, heavy hands. But a lot of the time he gets it done with the grappling. What you probably don't know is that Sean Strickland is really, really good on the ground. Really good. In fact, I remember it was at Millennium MMA in the Inland Empire out here in California. I went to this gym to train with Lorenz Larkin, and Strickland was there. It was the first time I met him when we sparred. You know, he has kind of an awkward style. And at the end, he goes, oh, yeah. And I'm way better on the ground, by the way. I'm like, you know, he said it as if he kicked my ass. I'm like, well, all right, well, so fucking what? You didn't kick my ass, mate. I kicked your ass. But he is good on the ground because we've rolled quite a bit. And he's got some very, very interesting sweeps. He's just got a really good understanding of the ground game. And as we've seen, the striking's got way better. He's fearless when he's in there as well. So I think Sean Strickland is a problem for a lot of people simply because of his mindset. Seems to have a really good chin. He's tough as fuck. He's not scared. And he has the skills. And of course, he's out there in Vegas all the time at Syndicate, at Extreme Couture. He's anywhere he can be to get the best training that he can get. And then we just saw Jack Hermanson get out wrestled, not in a jiu-jitsu match, in a wrestling match against Khamzat Chimaev. So, yeah, interesting matchup, Harrington. You got an early prediction for that one?
Yeah, I mean, there's something about, you know, Sean Strickland is a man who throws with bad intention. I watched Jared Cannonier, you know, he messed around with the wrestling with Hermanson for a little bit, and then boom, unloaded with his hands, and Hermanson had no answer for it. That, to me, feels like how Strickland is going to look at this fight, right? Like, that's going to be a lot of the blueprint to me. So, I like Strickland's chances in that fight, and Strickland moving on up in the middleweight rankings.
Yeah, yeah, no, me too. Early prediction, I'd say I'd lean towards Strickland, to be honest. I like Jacob Manson as well. But still, anyway, have we got anything big to talk about? What have we got here? Anything non-MMA or any big news going on?
This is kind of interesting. It's tangential to MMA.
Tangential? My God, good word, Harrington. I like it. Go on.
It involves an MMA star, but it's got nothing to do with fighting. Israel Adesanya is going to make his acting debut. He's going to voice a character on a new Netflix anime that's coming out. Mike, I wanted to ask you, if you could voice any cartoon character, who would it be?
Oh, my God. Any cartoon character? I don't know. I've gone up for a couple of voiceover roles over the years. I haven't got it, obviously. Otherwise, I would talk about it. But that's cool. I see a link that you put in there in the notes. Do we have a little clip? What is this anime? Because we know Adesanya, he loves a bit of anime, and that's a big influence in his life. Do we have the show of what it is? Is it Japanese? Is it American? It's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah, it's called Baki Hanma. It's now streaming, so I'm assuming Israel's going to pick up like a new character on a show that already exists. But yeah, that's really the only info that I have is that it's a Netflix anime. Yeah, and he's
that's
gonna be
awesome, man. Good for him, especially being into anime so much. You know what I mean? And now he gets to get involved with that. Yeah, that's fucking great. You like a bit of? Seems like anime is what all the cool kids are into. This, well, not cool kids. Want to be fucking cool kids. They're watching cartoons that are Japanese and they think they're cool because, oh, bro, I like a bit of fucking anime.
Well, so the show he's in is called Baki Hanma, and it's a sequel to an anime that I watched a couple years ago that is fucking brutal. Baki is one of the craziest animes you could watch. It's about a fighter who, like, there's some fucking gruesome shit in there.
Yeah, oh, really? Yeah, well, like with sword play and whatnot, people losing their heads.
No. People get like tiger clawed their muscles off. Like it's crazy. Like they'll be like, ah.
Is there sex? There's often like sexual scenes in these animes as well.
There might be, but there's so much violence that if there is, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I just remember the ultra violence.
You like a bit of anime, Brian? Is that, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm a fucking huge nerd, dude. I play Magic the Gathering. I watch
play
anime.
What?
Magic the Gathering.
What is Magic the Gathering?
A card game that nerds play.
Oh, I see. Fucking hell. You are a nerd. I'm a fucking huge nerd. You don't seem too much of a nerd. I'm like, yeah, okay. You're playing cards, card games.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Callum loves a bit of anime as well. You know what I mean? And he's always going to these like conventions and whatnot. And then he goes to Smash Brothers tournaments quite a lot. He's won one or two, but still. Harrington, jump back on, buddy. What else have we got, man? What else we got? How long have we been going for here? About 50 minutes or so?
Yeah, a little over an hour. I'm sorry, a little under an hour. Let's see here. Okay, how about this one? So Aspen Ladd. Didn't like some of the stuff Miesha Tate was saying since she made her return. So she says they're both in the same division. Why not let him fight? Here's the quote. I think she's definitely stirred the pot quite a bit. We all have life experiences, right? But without knowing what's happened to another person, you can't just like apply like your triggers and what's wrong with you to them. She has a tendency to see the world through what's happened to her in the past. I don't want to talk shit, but I definitely want that fight. You said some things. Let's go handle this like adults here.
Oh, so just remind me now, Aspen Ladd, did she miss weight?
Yeah, she came in. I think it was she came in heavy, and then the dehydration in the cut led to her actually like not being able to perform. And she had to.
But what is she talking about? Because I forget. I did see it at the time. There was something with the towel and stuff again, right?
Yeah, so she said that similar to the DC towel trick where she pushed down, Ladd, you know, is they were saying that Ladd pushed down enough on the towel that it actually took like 5 pounds off of
bleeding. Yeah, that's right. I remember there was a massive discrepancy when she did that.
Right. So Miesha Tate, obviously, you know, she's been an MMA personality and talking head for quite some time. So she chimed in on it, and now they're in the same division. So it's like one of those things where, you know, imagine you retired and said all the things you said on this show. And then one of the ranked contenders was like, all right, let's fight about your podcast now. It's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, no. Which if I came out of retirement, I'm sure plenty of people would do for sure. It's funny. She says that Aspen Ladd says she has a tendency to see the world through what's happened to her in the past. Because I Yeah, I went to Misha Tate's radio show on Sirius XM with Renee Paquette, and we spoke about who was it? There was a fight recently, and a cornerman. Who was it? Was that Aspen Ladd? No, it wasn't Aspen Ladd. Who was the fighter recently? And a cornerman was talking shit, and like people said it was a little overboard. And Misha Tate had me on, and it just so happened that around that time, it was after the Saturday where this fighter had like had a boyfriend, the cornerman who's also her boyfriend. I'm pretty sure it's Aspen Ladd. No, it's not Aspen Ladd. Anyway, whatever. But Misha Tate was calling it abuse. She was saying it was abusive. And I said, you know, I had to disagree with her. And then she said, well, listen, I've had an abusive relationship in the past. I know what abuse looks like. And I'm like, well, listen, I don't want to argue with that. Of course, I don't want to diminish what you went through or anything. But, you know, everyone has kind of different relationships. Listen, who gives a fuck? If they're talking shit back and forth, they're in the same weight class. Let them fight. That's what I say. You know what I mean? If they don't like one another, if they're taking little pot shots here and there, guess what? They have a forum for that, and it's called the UFC. They're both in the same weight class. Settle your differences in the octagon. Hug it out. There we go. Brian, we got any questions? Or Harrington, anything on your mind? Are you going to say something there?
I wanted to let you know that, it was, in fact, Aspen Ladd, you know, who was dealing with that situation with the abuse from her boyfriend / cornerman.
Yeah, but it wasn't abuse, I don't think. I remember at the time saying I thought it was maybe he could have used a different approach, but I don't think it was abuse, you know. But hey, it's all open to interpretation. Do you know what I'm saying?
You got some things to plug, Harrington?
We are going to get into questions. If you want to send one in, send it over to bympod@gmail.com. You can do a written question, but we prefer the video questions because this is a multimedia show. If you like what you're hearing on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you check out podcasts, click that subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, click the subscribe button and the notification bell to let yourself know whenever a new episode or clip comes out. If you enjoy this and don't like the ads, head on over to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial to over 24 shows on the network, including now Aaron Berg's new show and Zach Wilde from Black Sabbath and Black Society. Brand new show on the network in January.
Black Label Society, but Harrington doesn't listen to metal.
Yeah, well, there you go. He doesn't know what he's talking about most of the time. Let's be honest. Also, bymmerch.com. Merch at bymmerch.com. There we go. We've got some new designs coming out soon. Also, if you're in Australia and New Zealand and you're listening to this, I'm coming out there with my tour with Tales from the Octagon. And I'm coming back to the UK next year in October. And I'm going to mainland Europe as well. All over the UK. Oslo, Stockholm, Amsterdam, Copenhagen. Tales from the Octagon will be coming back. So I'm not sure what the website is. It was myticket.co.uk for the UK, but I'm not sure about internationally. So see my Instagram or I'll figure it out. Brian, I know you're very happy because you've been trying to see this little bad boy.
I've been trying to get you to put that behind you for like a month.
He's been trying to get me to put that up for months and months and months and months. The problem is in this room, if you turn it around, there's just shit everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. So I said, I'll put it up. Anyway, there we go. She's there. She's resting against the old typewriter that doesn't work.
Where right she now. Belongs.
Oh, baby, we'll find a better spot. But yeah, mate, do we got any questions, please? And if you have a question you want to ask us, send in a video question. We love them. bympod@gmail.com. But Brian, what have we got?
So we got a question here from Mr. Matt Jawbone.
Matt's jawbone.
So John Jones and Jackson Wink have had a falling out recently, and it brought a question to my mind. What if things had got so bad that Jackson Wink says, screw it, I'm going to just release the game plan on how to beat you. I'm going to work with Stipe or Ngannou or whoever his next opponent is, and I'm just going to give them the game plan. All of your flaws that I've seen during training, you know, your go-to combinations, things that work against you, basically. Would John Jones, who is a high-level fighter, paid a lot of good money, would he be able to then sue for any sort of damages? Now, granted, on the amateur level, this would be a stupid question. But because he is a high-level fighter, potentially the greatest of all time, and basically undefeated, would he be able to sue if Wink went out and released all this information?
All right. Well, thank you very much. Interesting question. I mean, listen, it all depends what's in the contract. Harrington, do you want to look up for me? There's a lot of history going on. There's a lot of tweets. In fact, if you pull up John Jones's tweets and just go back a little bit, Harrington, there's like a bunch of stuff he was saying about Mike Winklejohn, et cetera, and bring them up because he went on quite the tirade last week. Of course, what happened was, as we know, this domestic abuse case with John Jones. Jackson Wink apparently has stopped working with him. And then also now, apparently, he's told some of the other coaches they aren't to work with John Jones. And that's what kind of got John to go online, to go on Twitter and start talking a bunch of shit. Now, to answer your question, it all depends if they have a contract in place and also what's in that contract. I've never seen or heard of a contract in a place between a coach and a fighter where they would have the kind of language where they would say, okay, by the way, when we leave, you can't talk about my strengths and weaknesses. You know what I mean? Because it's not necessary. I mean, listen, he could do that. He could do that. But it would be a dick move of the highest degree. It would also jeopardize his integrity. It would jeopardize his integrity as a coach. It would also potentially be, it would stop him from attracting other high-level fighters. If you say, well, look how we did fucking John Jones. I know they fell out, but then he went and fucking started like publicly saying how to beat him. But more importantly, if you're a good coach or you're a good fighter, when you look at John Jones, you can probably figure out that stuff for yourself, you know, but it's doing it in person in the octagon. The hard part isn't knowing how to beat him. It's actually beating him. Hold on, go up. Let me read these out. So he says, Coach Wink gets on national TV and tells the world he wants the best for me. And then behind the scenes, harassing the other coaches for continuing to work with me. What a miserable bastard. This dude somehow has found a way to run away every single one of Greg's original fighters. I can't think of a Jackson veteran who still talks with this whole asshole. Asshole with a WH. And then he goes on to say, I didn't leave the team because I couldn't handle a punishment. I left the gym because I wasn't training with Wink anymore anyways. This man hasn't taught the students a new technique since I met him. Then Bones goes on to say again, what type of friend gets on national TV and airs his brother's dirty laundry? This was his opportunity to take the moral high ground and someone over someone who trusted him. He didn't give two shits about what actually happened that night. Anything, anything for some publicity. And we got one more. If I'm such a monster, he wouldn't still be trying to monetize off me being a former student there. There's a John Jones poster in almost every wall in that.
Harrington's saying we got to keep going.
Oh, we got to keep going. Okay. All right. Next one.
Homie, I just wanted you to pull me up and point out the fact that John Jones, a man who's 60 days sober, spelt his own name wrong.
Where?
In that tweet. Pull it up. If I
John
was such
Jones.
A monster,
oh, wow. Yes,
J-O-H-N Jones. He spelled his own name wrong.
Yeah. And then also, just on that note, you can stay on. Also on that note, apparently when John Jones went out there and said I was 60 days sober, DC highlighted the fact that, what are you talking about? Because the arrest happened 58 days ago. It hasn't even been 60 days since it happened. I'm not trying to talk shit. This is already out there. DC said it, but it was like, you know, he's doing well. 58 days sober. That's 58 days more than me right now. Do you know what I mean? But fucking hell, you know, there's kind of a fuck up. And then he spells his own name with a J-O-H-N. Ooh.
I mean, you know, 58 days in a time machine to get to 60. He's doing pretty good.
Yeah. Bless him. Going on about, it's a little bit of a drama show, isn't it? You know? Bit of a soap opera, shall we say. Listen, at the end of the day, coaches go their separate ways. To answer the guy's question, no, I don't think you could sue them. I think that would be silly. I don't think that I've ever seen that kind of language in a contract. So that would never happen. It's always a shame, but people do move on. You know, and him saying, John Jones saying that Wink has a poster of him all over the gym. Well, you would, because John is one of the most recognizable faces in mixed martial arts. And if you worked with him from the early days, then some of that credit goes down to you. Not all the credit, of course. John is the one stepping in there fighting, but you coached him along the way. So therefore, you use that to demonstrate your coaching abilities and how good you are. And come and train me, fucking me, because I train one of the goats. There we go. Anyway, any more questions?
Yeah, I got one here from a Madison Stevens. It's a written question. There's no video right behind it, but they just want clarification on all the combinations of positions that make a fighter down, which means you can't kick or knee them.
Oh God. Oh God. Putting me on the spot here. Hold on. Stay on the screen. Stay on the screen. They want a clarification of all the positions that mean you're down.
Yes, sir.
Right. Well, we've got one knee down. I think that's classed as a downed opponent. There used to be, if you've got two knees down, anything more than one knee, you're fucking down. If one knee's down, two knees, you're definitely down. Let on the floor, guess what? You're down. Let on your ass, you're down. You know, I think when they used to play that game where if you touch the floor, that was classed as a downed opponent. For the most part, that's eradicated, but certain commissions, you can still play that rule, I think.
According to the boxing commission, it's any fighter who has more than just the soles of their feet on the ground. And then in UFC, it's a downed opponent is a combatant that is on the ground. That's what the rule says.
No, but if you have a knee on the ground, that is classed as a downed opponent.
Well, Harrington has something to pop in.
Yeah, so what you were talking about is the new unified rules of mixed martial arts where they eliminated the one hand thing. Anik or whoever's doing the play-by-play at the beginning of every card lets people know if the commission that they're fighting at has adapted the new rules of mixed martial, the unified rules of mixed martial arts. If they haven't, you can't go replay, always stops a fight. And, you know, the one hand thing is still a problem. So depending on where you are, that knee changes.
I hate that fucking thing anyway. And by the way, it is confusing for fighters. It's fucking confusing every time the rules are a little different on this one. But if you're a fighter, I just hate seeing it when they play that rule. And when they don't really do it anymore because for the most part, it's eradicated. But when they put their hands on the canvas and say, oh, I'm a downed opponent. Well, you're not fighting there. You're not trying to win a fight. You're just playing the rules. And then you actually see some fighters, if they are touching the canvas, the fighter will pull them up off the floor and then fucking knee him in the head anyway. So, and I always like seeing that happen. But still, there you go. Listen, we're going to be back with another show on Thursday. We've got a big fight coming up this week. Dustin Poirier gets to finally potentially become the undisputed champion of the world, taking on Charles Oliveira. We have Amanda Nunes taking on Juliana Pena. We have the Sugar Sean O'Malley opening the show on a great fight card to break down, to talk about. We're going to have a guest on as well, so make sure you come back on Thursday. Thanks for tuning into the show. Thank you for supporting what we do. Brian and Harrington, of course, thank you very much. And we'll be back with another show on Thursday. Until then, take care, guys.